Hey, this is Leo for actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to be speaking about how to be more patient so that you can stop being so frustrated and stressed over the lack of results you seem to be getting in your life. How sad would it be if you were on track, set on a guaranteed track to get some big, important, significant accomplishment in your life, and then you quit just inches ahead of the final goal? How many times has that happened to you? What I want to suggest is that maybe the only thing standing in the way between you and the success that you want in your life is actually just patience or lack thereof. It's really a problem of lack of patience. So I'm going to be using a lot of different examples here from different areas of life. But what I want you to do as I'm talking about how to develop patience is I want you to take an example from your life where you're on some kind of endeavor, or you have some kind of project that you're trying to accomplish, right? Something big, something important to you, and then use that for your example. And then whatever I'm talking about will apply not only to my examples, but of course to your example. This is very broad, widespread, applicable stuff that I'm going to be talking about. So you're on this journey of self-actualization, and on this journey, you expect to get results. And what happens a lot of times is that you feel like you're not getting the results you deserve given what you're putting in. And it's very important that you remind yourself over and over and over again on this journey to be more patient, because it's very easy to forget this. Now, the self-actualization journey, that's like one endeavor. That's the endeavor that we're doing here together with this content. But, you know, you might have other endeavors. Maybe you're starting a business. Maybe you're working on your health. And I mean, these could be part of the self-actualization journey, but also they could be separate things. So maybe you're trying to get married and have kids. Maybe you're trying to get educated and go back to school to some graduate program. Maybe you're trying to learn how to play the guitar or the piano. Maybe you're trying to become a great artist. Maybe you're trying to become a great investor. You know, whatever your goals are. Maybe you're trying to become enlightened. Or just a masterful meditator. Maybe you're seeking emotional mastery. Maybe you're trying to overcome your depression. So this is what I'm talking about by these kind of like accomplishments. Now, what I would suggest to you is that, you know, sometimes what will happen is that you just have a bad technique or a bad method that you're using, which will never work, which means you got to go find a better method or a better technique. But a lot of times what happens is you just psych yourself out. You have the right method. You have the right technique. You have the right information. You're even already starting to build the right habits, but you just psych yourself out halfway along the journey and you don't complete it, simply because this is how our mind works. See, what our mind will do is it'll set unrealistic expectations, and there's a real tendency of the mind to sabotage itself because it expects too much too fast, especially with large, important goals. There's a saying that I really like from Tony Robbins. I heard him say once that people generally overestimate what they can accomplish in 1 year, but underestimate what they can accomplish in 5 years. And I find that to be very true. Especially when I was younger, all throughout my 20s, I really struggled with various business projects that I was working on. I really struggled to see them through to completion. And mostly when I look back on it now, it was just like a lack of patience. I was expecting way too much, way too soon. And like Tony Robbins was saying here, you know, I overestimated what I could accomplish on this project in 1 year, but then I didn't think far enough along to see how much I could accomplish in, let's say, 3 years or in, say, 5 years. See, what you got to realize about the mind is that the mind sucks at distributing work evenly across time. It tends to want the work that's happening early on to bring the equal amount of results as the work happening later on in this kind of curve. We're kind of mapping out and we're drawing like a curve or a graph of the results you get by working on some kind of project or some kind of endeavor, or with meditation, or with self-actualization as a whole, right? The mind sucks at working with big numbers, so it doesn't really understand a million or a billion. It doesn't understand these kinds of numbers. And also, the mind has a difficult time grasping your life in terms of, like, decades. It's really hard for your mind to see 10, 20, 30 years forward into your life. And yet, this is exactly what's required in order to get the big success that you want. Also, the mind tends to forget or dismiss this very fundamental truth, which is that all big success is actually made out of thousands of tiny little steps. A giant success, like becoming financially independent and having a business of your own, or becoming a famous artist, or becoming a great musician, or becoming a great meditator, or becoming enlightened, these things do not occur in one giant victory. They happen because you take little baby steps over and over and over again, and those accumulate and add up to something that's ultimately very big and impressive, right? But it's very easy to forget this when you're in the middle of one of these projects, and especially when you're kind of in a dip, when you're in a part of the project where it just feels like there's no results happening, there's some mistakes that happen, there's a setback, and you feel like nothing is working, and then you feel like quitting and giving up. What you got to remind yourself of is that results do not come linearly. There is an exponential growth curve for results in whatever you're doing. It looks like this, right? It starts off very, very shallow, which means you're putting a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of emotional labor, but you're not seeing much result. But then as you keep doing that more and more and more and more, months and years into the process, then you start to hit the knee of the curve. And when you hit the knee of the curve, then there's like an explosive growth. And then sometimes what happens, and it's very, very surreal phenomenon, is when you just persist at something over and over and over again, and you hit the knee of that curve, results all of a sudden just start pouring in, and they pour in faster and bigger than you could have ever dreamed of. It's like you have an abundance of riches at that point. I've noticed that happen with dating, with relationships. That happens. That happens with meditation. That happens with enlightenment work. That happens with business. Like the first few years of your business, you're kind of just going along, and you're trying to make ends meet, and you just can't. It's a really, really difficult struggle. You're on the brink of bankruptcy and quitting. But then you hit the knee of that curve, and then just like customers flow in, money flows in, everybody wants to interview you, everyone wants to do business with you, and then it becomes really sweet. So you got to remind yourself of the fact that really what you're working towards is hitting the knee of that curve, the point where it stops being flat and it starts going vertical. That's really what you're looking forward to. So this is kind of like a long-term thinking kind of deal. You got to really appreciate that at the beginning of every project, that's the longest phase, and that's the most emotionally difficult part. The beginning is probably more than half the work is in the beginning. More, probably like 80 to 90% of all the work and all the emotional labor starts at the very beginning of the project. Right? And it could take a couple of years. Like if you're starting a business, it might take you a couple of years. It might take you longer than you expect. There might be more setbacks than you expect. In fact, I guarantee you it will take longer than you expect, and there will be more setbacks than you expect. Now, logically, all this makes sense to you. Logically, even like a fifth grader, I could tell him all this and he'd be like, yeah, of course, Leo, I'm not stupid. I understand this stuff. Okay, so logically you understand it. And that's fine. You know it. You have that knowledge somewhere buried in your brain, but emotionally, do you understand it? That's the real question here, and that's the key. Do you grasp it emotionally? Because if you did, then you wouldn't be so frustrated and stressed and overwhelmed at the beginning of every new project or endeavor that you're undertaking. If you're like me, you've struggled with this a lot. And I know that every project I would start, I would just be kind of like neurotic and needy and desperate for results. And I'd be like, where are my results? Where are my results? I've been doing this for a whole week, Leo. Where are my results? I've been meditating for a whole month. Where are my results? I've been doing enlightenment work for 2 months. Where are my results? You must be telling us stupid ideas and stupid techniques here that just don't work. Right? I've been there. I've been there with self-development. I've been there with business. I've been there with programming projects that I've worked on, web development projects that I've worked on, video game projects that I've worked on, and so on earlier in my life, right? And what always frustrated me is just that I could kind of see that I was sabotaging myself in all these projects because I would be so needy for the result that eventually I couldn't take the pressure anymore, and then I just had to quit because I couldn't stand not seeing the results fast enough. So what needs to happen is that emotionally you need to start to get on board with what I'm talking about here, right? This principle of patience. You need to start to apply the principle of patience like an ointment or a salve onto the emotional wounds that you experience at the beginning, the long dry spell that you have at the beginning of every new endeavor, whatever that endeavor is. Another important component of this principle of patience is that the level of patience that you apportion to a project should be proportional to the significance of that project to your life. Let's unpack that. What does that mean? Let me give you an example. So let's say that I am planning to write a world-changing book. I want to write a book that will transform the lives of millions of people. And this is something that's like my dream project. And I say, okay, I'm going to sit down and write this book. And I give myself 1 year to write this book. Well, 6 months into this project, what I'll probably discover is that, man, this is harder than I thought. Writing a world-changing book is harder than I thought. I don't have the staying power. Maybe I don't have the writing skills I need to write this book. Maybe I don't have the research done that I need to write this book. Maybe I don't have enough life experience yet to write this book. And so what happens is I get discouraged, I psych myself out, and I quit halfway through the project. Well, that's the normal way that it goes. Now, if you apply the principle of patience to this, and especially this component of proportional patience, what it means is you ask yourself something like, okay, how significant is this project? Well, I'm writing a world-changing book that will affect the lives of millions of people. Whoa, that's a very significant thing. Well, if it's that significant, then I should be willing to take some setbacks. I should be very extra patient with this process, right? So if it takes me, instead of 1 year, it takes me 2 years, fine. It takes me 3 years, fine. It takes me 10 years, fine. Why? Because it's so significant, it's still worth it. Still worth it. Now, for some projects, you might ask yourself that question, no, is it worth it? Is it worth it doing if it takes twice as long, three times as long, 10 times as long? And you might come up with the answer that, no, it's not worth it. Well, in that case, you need to change your project. You always want to be working on the projects that are worth it, even if it takes you a decade to do it. So what are some examples of projects like that? Well, meditation is a great example of that. If it takes you 10 years to become a master meditator instead of the 2 years that you expect, is that still worth it? And the answer is unquestionably yes, it's still worth it. So that's a very good little rule of thumb that you can use to judge what kind of things you should be working on. You know, if you're writing this world-changing book and the subject of this book is important to you and maybe it's part of your life purpose, then hell yeah, 10 years, fine. 10 years, who cares? It's still worth it. It's significant enough that it's worth it. It might be worth 20 years of work. Napoleon Hill, on his book, Think and Grow Rich, he spent like 10 or 20 years doing research for that book. That's impressive. That's impressive. And that has gone on to become probably one of the most best-sold self-help books of all time. It's sold probably hundreds of millions of copies. And you can see the love and the attention that he put into that book. It wasn't a flimsy little self-help book written to get some publicity. It was a real research project. And that's why it went on to become so world-changing, because there was real research in the book. There, you can, when you read the book, you see 20 years of work put in the book, unlike some books where you don't see that. How about with starting a business of your own? If it takes you 5 years to start a business of your own and become financially independent rather than 2 years, is that still worth it to you? Hell yeah. Yeah, it's totally worth it. If you're an entrepreneurially minded person and you love doing your own work, you love setting your own schedule, it's totally worth it for you. How about with relationships? If you're looking for a relationship and you want, a marriage with kids, you want the perfect marriage, and you expect to get that within 1 year, and it takes you 5 years to get it, is it still worth it? Yeah, it's probably totally worth it for you. It's totally worth it. Even if it takes you 10 years of work to get that marriage, it's still worth it for you. Right? And so on and so on and so on. Another point I want to make here is that this principle of patience is extra important to those of you who are newbies on this process. And not just newbies, but what I would call newbies coming from a place of deficiency, like real deficiency. If you're starting at ground zero on your endeavor or on your project, like let's say you have never meditated before, you're starting at ground zero. But not only that, but you're actually depressed. So it's like you're not even at neutral, you're like in the negative. You're depressed and you have chronic anxiety and fear. So it's like you have no emotional mastery whatsoever. You're in the negative, okay? So if you're a newbie like that, and let's say you're depressed, and you're starting this raising of awareness process, and you're trying to meditate, and you're trying to do self-actualization work, you got to be extra patient with yourself because you're in the negative. It's gonna take you a while to get through the very shallow, flat part of that curve where you're not seeing any results, but you're putting in a lot of emotional labor. The same thing, like if you're struggling with your finances. If you're struggling with your finances, you're barely able to pay your bills, and you decide to start a business. Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. It's kind of like being depressed and starting to do meditation work. It's like you're at the very, very, very bottom. You're at ground zero. So, one of the most important techniques you should be using is this principle of patience. Just like take patience and visualize in your mind patience like an ointment. Right? Like imagine you have a burn or an itch somewhere on your body and it's really itching. Like you really need some results because you're a newbie, you're at ground zero, you really need some results. So what you are going to do is you're going to take this cool soothing ointment and you're just going to like slather it in very liberally in large doses all over your wound, all over your body so that it stops itching at least for a little while to hold you over. Until you can get to the doctor, or until you can let your body heal itself, it's really funny and kind of ironic and twisted, ironic twist of fate that for newbies, their lack of results and their need for results are exactly what keeps them being newbies for most of their life, because see, a newbie comes in and he's at ground zero. And now he wants results. He comes in because he needs the results. Like, for example, let's say I had a dry spell and I haven't had sex in 5 or 10 years and I haven't had a good relationship in 5 or 10 years. I really want some love and attention and I want some sex and I want some companionship because I'm feeling so lonely. I'm at ground zero. Right? And so it's like all I need is that result. That's what I really need to fix myself. But ironically, that's exactly the thing that's going to keep me from getting my result because that kind of needy behavior repels people, makes you repulsive, and it's going to ruin your relationships and it's going to ruin your dating life. Well, the same thing applies for business. If you come into business and you're totally broke, and you're trying to get this business just to earn some money, just to pay the bills, you just want to survive, and you're just telling yourself every day, man, if I could just get a little bit of money and this business could work, I would be happy. You come into it like that, but again, you're just like that newbie who's so desperate that at that point, you're willing to take all these shortcuts in business. You're not going to create a high-quality product from that state of mind or a high-quality service. So basically, you're going to start end up taking shortcuts and looking for get-rich-quick schemes, and those will always disappoint you because you're not building towards something successful and sustainable long-term. What about with meditation or enlightenment work? If you come into enlightenment work or meditation, and all you're trying to do is you're trying to get some, you know, you're trying to get some relief from the suffering in your life, and all you're doing it for is just relief, well, that's going to be very painful for you because you're not going to get relief the first few years of enlightenment work and of meditation work. You will see some results. So I'm not saying you're not going to see any results. You will see results, and those results will be sort of nice, but they will be sporadic results. And in fact, what you'll see is you'll see a worsening of your emotional state, not an improvement of your emotional state. Newbies come into meditation thinking that, oh, I'm going to meditate and feel relaxed. And then they rudely are awoken to the fact that, no, meditation makes you anxious and it drives your monkey mind crazy. That's why it works, is because you pass through that. Then there is a purging. There's a catharsis. And then you get your peace. After years of work, you get your peace, not at the beginning, which is why almost nobody meditates, because they're not willing to go through the flat part, the beginning of the curve, and they never get to the knee that then shoots up exponentially. And this applies to almost any important area in your life, whether it's fitness, nutrition, relationships, emotional mastery, consciousness work, meditation, business, finances, you know, whatever. So if you feel like you're a newbie and you feel like you're kind of desperate, my best advice to you is just remember this principle of patience. Keep reminding yourself, because you're going to be forgetting all the time. So just keep reminding yourself and just kind of slathering it on and just letting it kind of like soothe you and reassure you that what you're doing is okay. Now, what that's going to look like, that's going to look like is like you're going to be changing your self-talk here. So one question you might have is, well, Leo, how do I apply the principle of patience? Give me something tangible. Here's something tangible. Your self-talk. So the way that a newbie or an impatient person talks to himself about a project or endeavor that he's trying to succeed at is a very disempowering and counterproductive. You say things to yourself like, oh, am I going to get the result today? Oh, man, I didn't get the result. I didn't get it. What's wrong with me? I must be doing something wrong. Or maybe this technique, you know, something's fishy about this technique. I knew it. That Leo guy, you know, he lied to me. He told me a technique that doesn't work. I knew it. He was just a scam artist. Charlatan. You know, you start to have that kind of self-talk. Needless to say, that doesn't work very well. Instead, you got to recognize, become conscious as much as you can. Become conscious of your self-talk, especially at the beginning phase, the flat phase of this new project you're working on, and then try to change it. Change it by becoming more conscious of the long-term results and the bigger picture of what you're doing. Become more conscious of the significance of the thing you're working on. Become more conscious that you're working really to break to the knee of the curve. That's where you're trying to break through to. So you tell yourself things like, oh, you know, it's okay that things didn't work out this week because I'm in it for the long haul. Change your self-talk to something like that. Or you tell yourself stuff like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm just at the beginning of the project. I'm always going to feel bad at the beginning of the project. The beginning of the project's the hardest part. If I can just get through the beginning, I'll be home free. You see how much better that kind of self-talk is? That's what I mean by applying that salve to your wound. That's what you're doing here. Also, another way that you can implement the principle of patience is to create more room in your life for strategizing, for looking at the big picture. Most people are so busy doing stuff in life and entertaining themselves that they don't create just like an hour block of time every week where they can sit down and they can actually be a strategic thinker. I have a whole episode that talks about that, how to be a strategic motherfucker. Go check that one out. It's one of my most popular episodes. So we take the information from that episode and we combine it here with patience, right? A strategic thinker. Is he impatient or is he patient? Think about a really successful military strategist, like a general on the battlefield, who has won many, many battles. He's very, very wise. What does he do before he goes into battle? Is he impetuous? Is he foolhardy? Does he just rush into battle without assessing the situation, without thinking about the consequences of every possible action, without projecting into the future what this will mean, not only for this battle here, but for the next battle and the next battle, how all that connects to the whole war that he's fighting? See, a high-quality general will think all that stuff through. And to do that, he needs to actually set aside time to sit down and think, to strategize. When you sit down and you strategize, what'll happen is you'll put your current week and your current day, which might have been a crappy day or a crappy week, you'll put that into the context, the larger context of what you're doing. You'll say to yourself, oh yeah, you know, this week I've been procrastinating and I haven't been writing my book. And, you know, things have just gone terribly wrong for me this week. But wait a minute, that's just a week. I'm writing a book here that's going to change the lives of millions of people. And this is a 10-year-long project. And it's worth it even if it takes me 10 years to do. Oh, okay, what's a week? What's a week? What's a week in that larger picture? It's nothing. It's a small price to pay. Right? So create this room in your life for strategizing. A good starting point is carve out at least 1 hour every week where you can sit down quietly, where you have no work that's pressing upon you, no social obligations, no nothing. You're just sitting there quietly, maybe late at night or early in the morning, maybe on a weekend when you're totally free, and just spend it thinking about your future. Spend it thinking about where you're going. Spend it thinking about how this project you're working on connects with that other project and how that will synergize with this third thing that you're doing and how all of it will come together for you. Right? And spend that time reassuring yourself of like, oh yeah, I got to remember to be patient. I got to remember to strategize. I got to remember my long-term plans here. Because what happens is that you can set some plans, but then you go to work for a week and you forget all about the plan, the big picture plan, because you're so lost in the details, right? And then you never come back to the big picture plan until a year later. But you know, by that point, you've already quit. So you don't even come back to it. And the third and final tangible thing that I'll give you here for how to actually implement this principle of patience is simply to slow down your pace. Slow down the pace of your work on this project. So when you're impatient for a result, you really need a result. What's going to happen is then, of course, you're going to try to speed up your pace. You're going to look for shortcuts for how to do things faster. So let's say someone is trying to lose weight. Right? They're obese. They're trying to lose weight. So what do they come to me with? If they come to me for advice, they're going to be like, Leo, how can I lose weight? How can I lose 50 pounds in 20 days? How can I do that? And the answer is you can't. You can't do that. The problem is that you need to work and fix the root. The root is your impatience. That's the problem here. The problem is not that you're fat. The problem is that you're impatient. So instead of trying to fix it in 20 days, try to do it in 2 or 3 times as long a period. Slow down. When you're trying to lose weight, the secret is not to go to the gym for 3 hours when you first start. The secret is to go for 30 minutes, but then to continue to go every day for 30 minutes. Now, to a person starting off, he thinks to himself, well, 30 minutes, Leo, you know, 30 minutes, that's not going to make me lose 50 pounds. That's not enough. I know what I'll do. I'm so smart. I'm going to triple it. I'm going to go for 90 minutes. I'll show Leo. 20 days. He said, I can't do it in 20 days. I can do it in 20 days. I'll just go for 90 minutes and I'll do it twice as fast. That's about as silly as a woman thinking that she can have a baby in half the time just by trying to have it faster. Right? Some things need time to bake, to marinate, to come out well. So don't rush the project. If this is a really significant, important project to you, you should be willing to take twice as long to do it. You should be willing to slow your pace by twice as much. And if you're not, and if you struggle with that, and you just can't let go, and you're like, no, Leo, I got to keep my pace fast. That's your problem right there. That's the reason you're not succeeding. Let go of that. Just let go of it. Let go of needing the result. Focus on the path. Focus on walking the path. You're on a path right now. If you're following along with me and you're on the self-actualization path, you're on this path, right? This path will completely transform your life if you just stay on it and you don't try to overthink it and psych yourself out and sabotage yourself somehow. The most important thing you got to worry about is self-sabotage. Nothing will ruin your results more than self-sabotage. And impatience is one of the biggest forms of that. Now, I want to answer an objection. One objection that you might have at this point is you might say something like, well, Leo, it sounds like what you're just saying here is that, you know, I got to sit around and wait, be more patient. So being more patient means waiting. But isn't there a danger in waiting? What if by waiting, I get complacent and lazy? How can I know if I'm being lazy? Well, it's really simple. Are you taking action? Patience only works when you're taking action. I am not telling you here to sit around idly, doing nothing, waiting for a miracle to occur in your life, and to somehow expect a situation to spontaneously resolve itself. That's not what I'm saying at all. I am a big advocate of taking action. If you believe you can just sit there and wait for a spontaneous miracle, that would be sort of like if you got stranded in the Sahara Desert, in the middle of this vast desert with no water and no food, and you were stranded there, and you said, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll take Leo's advice, and I'll use Leo's advice, and I'll just be patient. I'm going to sit down under this tree. I'm going to sit here and just be patient. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait to be rescued, and water will come to me. Well, if you do that, you're going to be dead within a week. Water will not spontaneously come to you. You have to go take action to find it. So the right strategy in this desert case would be to actually go out and start looking for water. So what would you do? Well, you'd have to go around like looking for cactuses. And maybe you go, you find one cactus. You try to like cut it open to get some water out of it, but instead, it sticks you with its thorns. It has no water in it. So that one didn't work. Then you go, you look for another cactus. You find another cactus. You suck some water out of that one. But it turns out not to be water, but some nasty, poisonous juice. And you have to spit it out. And so that didn't work. And you see, now you're on a process of finding water. Now you're trying stuff, and it's not working. And that's where you be patient. So if you're stuck in the Sahara, and you're trying to find a cactus with water, and, you know, one of them pokes you in the face and pokes you in the eye, well, that's when you apply the patience principle. That's when you need the ointment. That's when you need to reassure yourself and tell yourself, it's going to be okay because there's a larger picture here. This one cactus, yeah, it didn't work out, but, you know, there's more cactuses. I'll find water somewhere. And you keep doing that. You keep keeping that mindset. And then you'll probably survive. If you're resourceful, right? So notice that I am telling you to apply this principle of patience only on top of a foundation of you already taking action. So if you're meditating, great. That means you're taking action. Now apply the patience principle to that. If you're starting a business and you're working every day on your business, great. You're taking action. Now apply the patience principle to that. And, you know, if you have depression and you're working on some depression issues in psychotherapy, great. You're taking action. You're going to therapy. You're doing journaling. You're introspecting. You're analyzing your past and all this kind of stuff. Great. Keep doing that and apply the principle of patience to it. Also, watch out for ineffective methods. So it is possible for you to stumble upon some method that you think will work, and it turns out that the method is actually totally ineffective, and you just keep doing it over and over and over again for years, and you get nowhere. So I'm not telling you to be patient with a totally ineffective method. The reality is that you can quickly, pretty quickly, guesstimate whether a method is working or not. Because you start doing the method and you can already start to see little tiny, tiny little results. These aren't results you can, you can really take home and brag to your family about. These are little tiny results. So when you sit down, you meditate for 30 minutes, you're going to see a little tiny result. Maybe you're going to feel a little bit more calm after you finish that session. Or maybe you're going to feel a little bit calmer or a little bit more in emotional control when you're in some angry fight with your boss at work. Notice that, and then you can see, oh yeah, that little result is a little indicator of the larger exponential results that I'll get years later down the road. So that's how you tell if a method is effective. If it's a totally ineffective method, you're not going to see those, right? Months will pass, you're not going to see anything. If you're stuck on a method like that, then drop the method and find a better one. So I hope you're starting to see the wide-ranging ramifications of this principle of patience in all the areas in your life you can apply it. You can apply it to business projects, to your career, to changing of habits, to building of confidence, trying to become more attractive to women. If you're a guy, it works great for that. If you're trying to become a better public speaker, if you're trying to learn something new, if you're trying to learn the guitar, the piano, a musical instrument, if you're trying to go back to school, if you're trying to go to graduate school, trying to get a PhD, if you're trying to master some subject like mathematics or physics or history, you know, these are all subjects that take a lot of time and a lot of effort to master. And they all have this kind of exponential growth curve. So the results, they don't come at the beginning, they come at the end. So just apply the patience principle over and over and over again in these situations. And also remember that your results are going to be so significant in these areas. So significant. Right? It's going to be so worth it. Same thing for relationships. If you're trying to master your relationships, if you're trying to develop emotional mastery, if you're trying to develop consciousness or awareness, if you're trying to do self-actualization, if you're trying to meditate, if you're trying to do enlightenment work, all this stuff, remember that the results will be so worth it. And you have to get realistic with yourself, and you have to admit that it's probably going to take you longer than you expect. In all these areas that I just listed, from business to enlightenment work, it will take you at least 2 to 3 to 5 times longer than you thought. That's the reality. And it will take you 2, 3, or 5 times more emotional effort than you thought. In fact, as far as emotional effort goes, I would say the emotional effort is usually astronomically higher than you expect. So the time, you can be off by a factor of 2 or 3 or 4 on the time scale. So if instead of a year, it takes you 4 years. Okay, that's, you know, off by a factor of 4. As far as guesstimating the emotional labor for something like starting a business or reaching enlightenment, you're probably going to be off by a factor of 100 or 1,000. By 100 or 1,000. So you need to correct your expectations, because right now your expectations are totally out of line with the things you're trying to accomplish. You're treating the things you're trying to accomplish as cheap, little, flimsy accomplishments, when in fact they're super significant and super important accomplishments, which you need to take very seriously. You need to treat them with respect and expect that they should take years, not months, to accomplish and to master, and decades, really, to master. Forget about mastery. Focus on just getting a little bit of results, a little bit of proficiency. Don't even worry about mastery yet. Mastery takes decades. Okay. So I want to end this by giving you a set of important questions that will help you to determine patience and impatience and to apply this principle of patience. So here are the questions. Grab a piece of paper and write these down. Question number one is, one area in my life where I'm trying to go too fast is, fill in the blank. It's not really a question, it's fill in the blank. One area in my life where I'm trying to go too fast is blank. Okay. Second one is, why am I in such a rush? Why am I in such a rush? The third question is, if it took twice as long, would it still be worth it? If it took twice as long, would it still be worth it? Next question. If I embraced the principle of patience, I would fill in the blank. If I embraced the principle of patience, I would fill in the blank. Next question. How would my expectations change if I cared deeply about long-term results? How would my expectations change if I cared deeply about long-term results? Okay. And the next set of three questions that I'm going to give you are all going to apply to some specific project that you're working on. So I want you to take a specific project you're working on and then ask yourself this. What exactly does a lazy pace look like here for this project? What exactly does a lazy pace look like here for this project? And then follow that up with, what exactly does an impatient pace look like here for this project? What exactly does an impatient pace look like here for this project? And lastly, ask yourself, what exactly does a wise pace look like here for this project? What exactly does a wise pace look like here for this project? All right, go ahead and answer all those. Pick something in your life that's very significant to you and just check it out. Answer these questions and take a look. Are you being impatient? Maybe you could change the pacing and apply the principle of patience and what I talked about here and become more strategic in your planning. All right, that's it. I'm signing off. Please click the like button for me. Post your comments down below. I do read them. Share this episode with a friend. And lastly, come check out actualize.org right here. This is my website and my newsletter. You know, speaking of patience, one of the things you need extraordinary patience for is the journey of self-actualization. And I know that your patience is thin. So I try to keep my content very, very practical. I try to come up here every week and deliver something new to you that will help you a little bit to understand how your mind works, how it tricks you, how it sabotages you, so that you can go out there and get the kind of success you want, right? If you're lacking patience and you can't trust yourself to follow along, sign up to the newsletter, because every week you'll get a little announcement, a little update with more content. And this material is meant to not just teach you techniques, but to inspire you, to motivate you, and perhaps even most importantly, just to keep you reminded of the fact that you are on this larger journey. It puts little minutiae of your week into perspective, right? Don't underestimate how powerful that can be. That can be a little habit that you can set for yourself right here that will transform your whole life. Watch one of these episodes every week. Do it for a year or two. Man, you will come out a totally different person in the end. Check it out. Anyways, sign up. Stay tuned, and I'll see you soon with more.